Good morning, everyone, and welcome to you on this beautiful sunny morning. So please sit down, because there's just one or two notices. We just need to remember Gay, who's still in hospital, and Dennis, who's not able to be with us yet, although he is progressing slowly, and the Parkin family. After their bereavement. Paul Deeming's brother is seriously ill in the Leicester Royal, so can we remember that family too? And good news, Sylvia's going to be celebrating a special birthday very soon. And I think Kathy would just like to say a few words. Where is she?
Sorry that you've had to wait, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very special day for one of our friends and members here. Tomorrow, I don't know whether she's 21 or... Anyway, that's it. Anyway, I'd like to... been giving those out to people to sign, and the last person signed, so that can go in. And we wish you a very, very happy birthday, Sylvia. Hope you have a lovely one on your special day. And I would like to present you with a few gifts from us, if that's all right.
Thank you. Have a good day tomorrow, Sylvia. And we welcome Tim Lee to lead our worship this morning. So it's over to you then, Tim.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Do you want to say a few words? Brilliant. Many happy returns for tomorrow. It's great to be here with you, as usual. Good to see you this morning. And the church is still in the season of Easter. It's not over. And the danger is that we celebrate resurrection on Easter Sunday. And then actually, do you know what? We forget it for another year until we come all the way around to, well, March, April, May, whenever it is that it moves around. And our Methodist brothers and sisters remind us that Christians are an Easter people. We carry Easter with us, literally, as we journey through life. And as we look at our... Bible reading, and we look at the passage this morning, we're going to be exploring fake news, and we're going to be looking at some of the events after Jesus had died around the Easter texts, and what does that mean for each one of us, and how can we understand that? So we're going to start with Christmas, because that's where Easter really starts, isn't it? And we're going to sing From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. It just tells us the story and reminds us that all of these stories and all of these narratives are connected together. So if you are able to stand to join in with us, please do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
April the 1st is always one of my favourite days of the year. As long as it's not been done on me. I don't know, I remember when I was at school, that kind of, that careful kind of, you know, way in which you walked around just to make sure that you weren't on the receiving end of being made foolish by somebody else. It's fun, isn't it, trying to spot in the news and in the newspapers what the April Fool is. I remember in days gone by, spaghetti trees. You might remember some other famous ones about people who made a really good April Fool out of a whole load of people. There was a really well-planned one this year. I don't know whether you heard or read about it, but it was planned well in advance, and the news came out all on social media that they were going to be moving the London Eye. It had come to the end of its license period, and they needed to take it down. They were going to be doing this over the Easter weekend because they thought it was a good time to do it. And then they were going to be taking it on the motorways of England over the Easter weekend to Scotland, where it was going to become the Scottish Eye. My wife, Claire, came home one day and she'd been away for a few days with a friend and she'd seen this on social media. And it was literally, it was weeks before Easter. And she was incredulous. She said, how could they be so stupid to move it over the Easter weekend? What do they think's going on? Why are they taking the London Eye down? It's such a centre attraction. What a brilliant thing to have. And I just calmly asked her and said, so just tell me, what is the actual day that it says on social media that they're going to be moving the London Eye? Well, she got out her phone and she scrolled all the way through and found where it was. And she says, well, Easter Monday. Easter Monday this year was April the 1st. Suddenly, I just said to her, April Fool? Oh no. Dawn and I have been talking about it all week. That was her friend who she'd been away with. So the Scots, with their wonderful sense of humour, were going to call it, as I said, the Lomond Eye. And apparently there were unconfirmed rumours that we were going to be getting Nessie swimming up and down the Thames instead of having the London Eye as the attraction, and that we'd be able to still charge for it. It was a really good one. And it definitely fooled my other half. But how many times have we been fooled? How many times have we been made to look, well, stupid, daft? How many times have we been embarrassed by what it is that's gone on? But I don't know about you, but it seems now like most days are April Fool's days. Trying to work out what is true and what is reality in the news at the moment seems really hard. I'm a governor of a local school and I know how much we're struggling to make ends meet. And then the government minister tells me, well, we're putting more money into education than we've ever done before. Well, I'm not meaning to be rude, but we ain't seeing it. Who do I believe? Fake news. News that is out there in the public domain, moving the London Eye up to Scotland. That was purposely done to fool somebody and to fool us. But nowadays, the news is edited, created, manufactured. How do we know what's true? How do we know so much of what we encounter? People are trying to control the narratives. People are trying to control the stories of our lives by the information that we are fed. And then right into the midst of this, we get the accounts after Easter. Fake news? Edited? Made up? Invented? We're going to explore those as we look at our passage and as we go through our service together. But let's pray, shall we? If you're looking for a blessing, do not linger here. Here is only emptiness, a hollow, a husk, where a blessing used to be. This blessing was not content in its confinement. It could not abide the isolation, the unrelenting silence, the pressing stench of death. So if this is a blessing that you seek, open your mouth. Fill your lungs with the air this new morning brings. And then release it with a cry. Hear how the blessing breaks forth in your own voice. How your lips form every word you never dreamed to say. Seek how the blessing circles back again, wanting you to repeat it louder and louder, and it draws you and it pulls you and it sends you to proclaim one single word. Risen. 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 Lord, the glory is yours and yours alone. For what you did on that first Easter morning. The death was not the end and never will be evermore. Lord, we give you praise and thanks that we are an Easter people, a people already living on the other side of death. The victory is already ours. We have already won. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Emmanuel, Christ with us. Risen. Risen. Risen! Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. If you want to, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing our second hymn this morning. Here is love, vast as the ocean. If you'd like to stand. Our stewards will now wait upon us with our offering. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for these gifts, for those who give their gifts through banks and bank transfers. Lord, we ask that all of the money that is given to you will be used for your glory and for your kingdom to be extended and for your name to be known here in this place and further afield. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to do our Bible reading now, and I'm just going to ask you not to look at the screen. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to sit firmly in your chair, press your back to the back of the chair. What I'd like you to do is to sit up straight, put your hands resting comfortably on your lap, okay? And if you want to, what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to use your imagination as you listen to this passage. Okay? I want you to use your imagination. And if you like, to put yourself, okay, in the scene. So, you know, it's warm. There's probably the smells of a hot country. So just as you get ready, just close your eyes, sit comfortably, and use your imagination. There's nothing wrong with using your imagination. There won't be any wrong things that you can imagine in this as I talk about this scene and this passage. And what I would like you to do is to consider one question as you look and you see what strikes you about this passage, okay? A simple question. What strikes you about this passage? So here we go. Our reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, right near the end, Luke 24, starting to read at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Got anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things." Just stay there for a moment. Don't leave yet. Okay, if you'd like to just slowly open your eyes and come back from where it is that you've been and have imagined. Turn to a neighbour. What struck you about this passage? Just have a chat with them. And I will probably, when you finish chatting, just come round and just see if there is anything that anybody wants to share. Thank you. Okay. Anybody willing to share what it is that struck them about the passage?
Despite seeing all the signs and wonders, despite seeing all the signs and wonders, they still found it quite incredulous. But the seeming banality of asking for the fish as well.
Yep. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? What did you see? What did you notice in the passage? Thank you.
Disbelief, like doubting Thomas. Yeah, they weren't sure. So, but he had to, they have to have the fish so to prove he's not a ghost.
Yeah.
Not a ghost, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yep. Great. Anybody else?
It took several proofs for it not to be false news.
Okay. Yep. Great. Anyone else?
I think we felt that we couldn't really imagine what it would be like to be so terrified, because we're not in a country where political dissidents have to hide in locked rooms. We can't imagine it.
Yeah.
What they feel like.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Great. Okay. It's an interesting passage, isn't it? Because the danger is that what we do is we read it with 2,000 years of history and of exploration in between, which is why I try to get you to imagine what it was like, as though you were one of the disciples in that passage for the very first time. And this is where it starts to get really kind of, it's where the rubber really hits the road, because you really think to yourself, so actually, this is Jesus coming back to life. No, this is resurrection. And that's not the same as coming back to life. Because Jesus was different and yet the same. And if you like, what we are seeing is the first fruits, and that's what Paul talks about, the first fruits of the making of the new heaven and the new earth. When there will be no more tears, and there will be no more pain, and there will be no more fighting, and no more wars, and we will be at peace. Boy, how do we long for that in our world today? This is the dawn of a new history. This was the moment that everything changed. We're going to sing in worship of God, "Oh, to see the dawn."
Thank you.
This passage only occurs in Luke's Gospel, so it's unique. And as we've already heard, you know, we see in the passage the disciples are not expecting these events to happen. They've already been warned. If you go back and look in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is already warning them about the Son of Man will be killed, and on the third day he will be raised to life. Now, I'm not sure that Jesus is saying that's me. But he is just kind of saying there's something going on here. There's something more. There's something which is happening. I find it comforting that those first disciples who were in that space encountering the risen Jesus had difficulty coming to terms with it. Do you know what? I find that really helpful in my own journey and my own walk with God, because there are times when, if I'm honest with you, it's a struggle. Especially sometimes when the events of the world around us, you know, just seem to be going south all of the time. And, you know, the cry, where, oh, where, God, are you in this? Are we really living resurrection? And it speaks directly into my own trouble, my own not being sure. And it says, it's okay, Tim. It's okay not to have it sorted. It's okay. And I wonder too about how this passage is received in today's world. In a world that's constantly on April the 1st, where fake news is around all of the time. If we took this out onto the streets and read it in public places, if we took this out and we posted it on social media, what would be the responses? What would be the things that people would say? How would they imagine the scenes on this first resurrection? As Jesus showed himself to his disciples in loads of different ways, this is just one of them. In Luke's Gospel. And we even know, it's even worse, we even know that Luke edited his materials. We even know that he was trying to do something specific. He was controlling the narrative. Right back in Luke chapter 1, Luke says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first eyewitnesses, who were the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." What a great name that is. "So that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." So he's done a careful investigation. He set them into an order. "All so that Theophilus may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." And those reasons have not changed. He may as well be using each one of our names instead of the name of Theophilus. He's still trying to convince. He's still trying to speak gospel. Good news into life, into our lives, into the lives of the world around us. These post-death, these resurrection narratives are not fake news. But how do we convince other people? This news, this event, this single event in the history of our world turns everything, everything, inside out, upside down, and the other way around. Everything is fake news compared to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. This is the defining moment in history. This is the moment on which the world axis tilts. This is the moment when nothing is ever the same again. And as we read this passage, we see that Jesus makes an invitation to the disciples to come and discover. And I'll just read it to you again. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. It's almost like Jesus is trying to convince himself. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood and bones as you see it. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And then he asked them, as you rightly said, for a piece of fish. It always reminds me of the film of the Pirates of the Caribbean. And the pirates are those people who you can see in the moonlight. And when they drink, you know, kind of everything kind of comes out straight out of here because they're just skeletons. And this moment always reminds me, I'm thinking, what happens to the piece of fish? Where does it go to? What happens to it? You know, I'm fascinated, I'm curious. And no, we never see that piece of fish again. It is consumed by the resurrected body. This is not a ghost. It doesn't fall through. It doesn't fall out. This is more real than anything we know. Than this. This is not fake news. This is the world as it should be. This is the world that is in the future that will happen. There is no guesswork about this. There is no uncertainty. We might doubt, and I know what that is. We might lack the faith to believe it. But it is certain. It has been ordained. And in this passage, what I love about it is that Jesus says, come and discover. And I can imagine that some of us, you know, we would be standing there and we'd be thinking, I'm not sure I want to discover. And actually, instead of stepping towards, we would probably be stepping away. And that's not what Jesus does. He says, come. Come and see. Come and discover. The marks in the side, the holes in the wrists and the hands, the marks in the feet. Come and discover. See for yourself. Come and discover. Come and discover that as we sit and share and eat together, something is different. see for yourself. Come and discover that death is not the end. It is a doorway through which we pass. Come and see for yourself. Come and see that resurrection life is more real than anything that we can imagine. And if that doesn't mess with your head and with your heart, I don't know what will. Because that is how profound this moment is. And we, Jesus makes the same invitation to each one of you now, today. And he makes each that invitation to anyone who is on this planet. And that's our role, is to invite people to come and see. To come and see the events, to come and see that this is not fake news. Everything else is fake news compared to the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the astonishing gospel. That is the astonishing story that Luke writes about. So, for each one of you here, will you step towards Jesus, the resurrected Jesus? And will you offer that invitation to people that you meet this week? Come. Discover. I just want to read a poem to you. It's entitled Stay, which is the very next word after this passage. I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You still want to outrun the grief. You still want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was lost to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear what I mean when I say, all you need to do is to still yourself, is to turn towards one another, and is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fulfill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now. You cannot even imagine it, what lies ahead. But I tell you, the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it has never been before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you, new and startling. You will dream dreams and you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself. Stay. Because Pentecost is coming. Christine is going to lead us with our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. On this third Sunday of Easter, may we say again, Alleluia, Christ is risen. So when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, can you please respond with, hear our prayer? Knowing that risen Christ is here among us, we give thanks and we pray to our Lord and Father who raised his Son from the dead. We pray in his name for the church and for the world. Increase our faith, Lord, dispersing any doubts and fears that hold us back from complete trust in you. Jesus, you called your first disciples, saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fill us with the presence of your Holy Spirit, so that we can be inspired and equipped to follow you and to serve you. Living Lord, we pray for your blessing on every group of Christians worshipping today all over the world, in small gatherings and in large cathedrals, in secret or in the open. Fill every heart with living hope. Set our hearts ablaze with the love and blessings that you have given us, that we may walk as children in your light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living Lord, we pray for all the areas of your world which are torn apart by hatred and violence, famine, disease, or religious differences. We pray for an end to war and a deeper commitment to peace. We pray especially today for the people of Ukraine and for Gaza and Israel. The news of the escalation in the violence by Iran towards Israel last night has made the situation more serious. Break through the closed doors of human hearts with the joy of the risen Christ, so that the desire for cooperation and peace may prevail over hatred, selfishness, and greed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those we know who are suffering with ill health, bereavement, loneliness, or other problems. We have mentioned this morning Gay, Gay Venter, the Parkin family, Dennis, Paul Deeming, and also Betty is not well. So, Lord, we bring them before you and ask that you will lay your healing hands on them and surround them with a sense of peace. We pray, too, for those in our wider community who are struggling with problems of all kinds. Help us to reach out to them with your love and with practical support where we can. We bring before you those who come to the groups that are held in our building. Please show us how we can bring Jesus to them in a real and relevant way. We will now have a short time of silent prayer as we remember those we are concerned about before God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. We stand together and sing our final hymn this morning, In Christ Alone. Tea, coffee is served after the service. If you want to stay and join us, you'd be more than welcome to. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.